Thank you, Kelsey, and just wanted to introduce what's going to be happening. And one of the things that struck me was that, and we actually touched on this in men's ministry yesterday, we brought up the topic of when God tells you to do something and you procrastinate it, you don't do it, you don't obey. And there was some really transparent discussion. Well, Katrine, you can go ahead and make your way up here. I don't remember exactly when it was, but Katrine and I believe Caleb and Bethany and Joelle and Ashley, I think, went to Texas to get trained on Royal Family Kids. But before that, Katrine had the vision to do it. Now, there's a lot of leaders in Royal Family Kids now. There's a lot of work shared. But in yesterday's discussion, if she'd been prompted by the, she was prompted by the Lord, but if she hadn't obeyed, we might not have Royal Family Kids. And that was the little thing we were talking about yesterday. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, we need to not procrastinate, but do it. And we're so thankful that you obeyed the Lord to do, to put into motion what's happening now. So come on up and tell us what happened this year.
Good morning. First, we are going to start by showing you guys a short video that recaps our week, and then we'll show you some photos. So, Kristen? And then we have some pictures. Wonderful. Thank you. So I hope that video gave you a little taste of the week. It was a really great week. The rain did try to put a damper on things, but the kids still went swimming and fishing, and they could care less that it was raining. And we were supposed to have a bonfire the first night, but we just ended up moving it inside and had bonfire with s'mores right out of the oven. So we had 21 campers, 13 were returning, so that was fun to see all those kids that had come back. And then we had 4 sets of siblings as well. So that's always fun when siblings come together. A few of my favorite moments, the kids just being brave and trying new things. One of the girls, she's a returning camper and was going off the zip line. And you can see it's pretty high up. It's pretty long. So she was scared, and she asked me to go with her. And I said, of course, I would love to. So we got up there, and she's trying to psych herself up, trying to go off. She's like, you know, they're like, okay, you could go. And she's just, she can't. She just can't. And so finally, after we're all encouraging her for couple minutes, she finally goes off and she does it, and we're cheering and, you know, just so excited for her. And we get to the end, and we're walking back, and she said, you know what really helped me to go off the platform was I thought of one of the camp songs, and it's a song that talks about how God, with God we can do big things, and with God we are brave, and there's nothing too hard for him. And that just was really, really sweet. The songs they get on their MP3 players are teaching them truths about God and about themselves, and that's a part of camp that I just really cherish and love. Those songs go deep within them. And then another memory was the birthday party. It's always a highlight. The kids just love it. Shout out to Jen and Pete and their crew. I don't see Jen and Pete, but woo! Oh, there you are. They did awesome. They have every year done the birthday party, and it was bug themed this year, and it was a lot of fun, and the kids loved it. And again, it was raining a little bit, and the kids still went out of the bouncy house and got wet. It was fine. I wanted to share a few Dear God letters. So at the end of the week, we give these to the kids, and they can write whatever's on their heart. We don't have a script or anything. It's just whatever they want to say. And then the adults help them write it if they need it. So this is from one of our boys who's been coming for a couple years. Dear God, thank you for letting me go on the zip line more than once. Thank you for swimming. Thank you for helping me have courage to do brave things. Thank you for my family. I miss him, even though he is annoying. He is funny. This is from one of our girls. It was her first year. Dear God, thank you for the blob in the zip line. Thank you for the faith you gave me to do that. I was scared. I learned that Moses had to choose love and courage. This is from a girl who is returning. Dear God, I'm thankful for swimming. I love making new friends. I learned I am so loved. You are a good God. And then the last one here is from one of the 6-year-old girls. It was her first year. Okay, so 6 years old, keep that in mind. Dear God, I liked my MP3 player Bible book, and I'm not scared. I won't be scared, never and never again. I won't be sad, but be happy. I liked it when the people sang Jesus loves me. So that was really sweet. And then the last thing I just want to share, I try to reach out to parents after camp and see how camp impacted their kids. So a few things that I got back. was one of the boys we had who was 6 years old said that everything in capital letters was his favorite part. Mom has heard about the zip line the most, but she really thinks this was a great experience for him. She thinks it's something he's going to talk about for years to come. He's also really enjoyed his music player and even helps his little sister at home to listen to it as well. So his little sister said swimming was her favorite. Then she added, and all the other stuff too. She told me about making it to the top of the rock climbing wall and was very excited. I think the whole experience helped her to feel so very cared about. So now I'm going to hand the mic over to our next speaker, which will be Brandon. Give it up for Brandon.
Good morning, church. Well, this sounds good. Well, I'm not one to usually speak into a microphone. Usually sometimes I have get in my head, but Katrine called me up this morning and said we had a speaker that was out due to some family emergency and asked me to step in. And one thing I love about this church is it's just a beautiful representation of just seeing God's people. No matter what church you go to, we're all in the royal priesthood. We're all in this family together. And I get so encouraged. It makes me think of Romans 1:12 about when we're coming together, may we be encouraged by each other's faith. And I think Royal Family Kids Camps is a great testimony of your guys' mission to do this, because each church has its own unique mission, its own vision, and people trying to do what the Lord has for us in our own respective places. And sometimes saying yes, like Katrine did, opens up this wonderful opportunity for different people from different churches like myself doing very similar missional work. Again, this is all within our community, so for me, it's my favorite to come to camp. And I've been blessed to have the same camper for 4 years, so I got to see him when he was, I think, 7, and he'll be graduating our program next year if the Lord has him coming back. And when we get to sit down for, you know, hours throughout the day interacting with one another and seeing, you know, what kind of impact do we get to have within a week? I know sometimes I'm a skeptic at times, and being able to hear him say, you know, when I first came, all these people, Grandpa Herman and the grandmas and Katrine and all these other servers, you know, they're just saying yes, and, you know, we're not doing anything extraordinary in our own strength. It's the community of believers coming together, because as one person, we can't do this camp. We can't do it with two. We need everybody. So I just think about all the funds that have to go to make it happen and all the people that have joyfully given, joyfully invited others to give, believers, non-believers. What a great testimony. So when I was one of the zip line guys for the water zip line, it's always fun to see all the kids come up. All of them going through different emotions, some that have had overcome years before, and now they get to encourage and lead others to face big things that are scary to them. So one thing that I was really proud of this year is seeing the older guys become leaders from, you know, I don't want to do this, what would you like to do, and kind of compromising together to find what they wanted to do was, in a way, teaching others how to go fish. And Grandpa Herman and Kyle were great examples of that. So I just looked at this church and all the fathers and mothers that have kind of shown what it looks like to be those roles, and we can all point back to Jesus. And I look at Heather, our chapel coordinator. It was really neat to see all the young and old just participate. And I think for kids, it's incredible to see that, because when we get these opportunities to do one-on-ones, it's like, you know, while we're up there, you know, this is what I was feeling, or this is what I've been carrying, so that we too can show, you know, it's only Christ that allows us to overcome big things. So that's something I really love about camp.
Thank you, Brandon. Next is Shane.
Gonna be hard to follow that up. I procrastinated several years. I would sit there and watch, you know, we need volunteers, and I'm a licensed clinical therapist, you know, and I look at the box, you know, and they needed a therapist, and I'm like, okay, somebody's gonna sign up for it. And then somebody did, and I'm like, whew, got out of that one. And this year, that box stayed empty. And I'm just watching, and there wasn't somebody else that signed up. Must have been about the same time I did. And so we got to tag team it. So it was my first year. Man, I tell you guys, like, you could see God working. Like, you could see the Holy Spirit, you know. Like, there's some people out there that need proof, you know. This is proof. Like, go out there. Take a look. Look at these people. The kids are just so full of joy and excitement, and they have all these big emotions. And, you know, what to do with it? What to do with it? You know, they have been told no over and over and over. And, like, finally, they were told yes. And the Spirit worked in them, worked in us, and you could feel it. And they were just met with joy and excitement. I mean, this is, like, not normal what they probably experienced, you know. They're in loving homes and things like that. But, yeah, it's hard to navigate all that. So I felt blessed with the opportunity to be able to do that. And two things. I got to do two things I enjoy most probably in life. I got to help, counsel, and coach the counselors. And then I got to coach sports. So I've done that all my life with, you know, four kids and coaching and things like that. And I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, first day I get there, I'm like, ooh, what did I get myself into? You know, but quickly, like, I discovered, like, oh, wow, this is what it's about. It's about just loving God and showing your love and showing these kids love and getting to see their excitement and what they can overcome. So I felt that I was there, obviously, for a reason. But I got, I don't know, I felt like I got more out of it than they did, you know. I had begged my mom to, please, Mom, can I go to camp? Can I go to Boy Scout camp? Can I go to this camp? No, 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 you know. And, you know, about the third day there, I'm like, I finally got to go to camp. It was great. I loved it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, next is Barb. Grandma Barb.
Yes, I was Grandma Barb. This was my first year, and I was pretty nervous. I kept thinking, you know, I am 68 years old, I have emphysema, and I'm going to chase kids around at a camp. But through all of your prayers, got me through, since I forgot my inhaler when we packed for camp. And so through the wheezing and your prayers, I made it. Probably one of my favorite parts of camp, there was this little girl, and we can't use names. Okay, 6-year-old little girl that, like, from day one just latched on to me. Every time they would come into, the cafeteria for meals, she'd come running up and grab my hand, Grandma Barb, Grandma Barb, will you sit with me? We'd walk, everything. I had this little girl by my side. Then when we did the talent show, one of the girls had said one of their favorite parts was when everyone sang Jesus Loves Me. Well, this was going to be her talent at the talent show, but she didn't want to do it by herself. So as she's headed up, she grabs my hand and wants me to come up and sing with her. So we get up there, and she starts, she starts crying because she doesn't want to do it. But this is where the community came in, because then all these other girls came up on stage to sing with her so that she could sing Jesus Loves Me. I could talk for hours about the memories. I'm seeing the pulmonologist. I'm getting my inhaler refilled so I can do this again next year.
Glenn, where are you? There you are.
Oh, okay. I was just jotting down some notes because I was like, I want to make sure I am linear in the way that I explain what's going on in my head. I will say, like, why did I do this, right? Like, what's the thing that compels me? One of them is I feel like there's a lot of things in the Bible that can oftentimes be confusing, especially when you get in the space of, like, commandments and whatnot, and, like, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And I feel like, man, you don't get much more clear than working with orphans and widows, just based on, like, what the Bible says. Like, literally, James, pure and undefiled religion before God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in distress and to keep one unstained from the world. So I guess there's, like, three things. Orphan, widows, unstained. But either way, like, man, the will of God is made very clear. I know so frequently we're all looking for that. You know, what do I do next? What do I do next? And it's like, well, maybe it should involve an orphan or a widow. So that was something that struck me, and I was like, I should do something. I should do something. Because I don't have a lot of orphans or widows in my life. So I'm getting more. As you get older, you get more widows. Guys, we die. Sorry. But, like, there's a lot. So there's more widows. But for the most part, like, you don't see it out there as much. So, but I do appreciate that we have a church that's really, I feel like, bringing light in a good way to those things. The second thing, I feel like, I don't know, like at one point the church was like, we should do missions work. And like some people got together because a guy had an idea, heard from the Lord, and they kind of rallied. And like it was something that ended up like positively impacting like the world. And I think in the same way, like we had someone in our church come up and say, I have this idea. And like to rally around like another Christian and to do something in community for community in the name of Jesus. Man, that's like one of my most favorite things to do. I love the fact that we have, because it's just, I don't know, church on Sundays, I love it. I recognize fully that it's just such a small sliver of what does it mean to be a Christian. So like, you have your home fellowships, you've got things that you're doing with your friends in their day-to-day activities, where you're going out and you're biking, you're talking about life or whatever it may be. But like to go out and to serve the community, I know we do things like trash pickup and light the night, and this is another version of that, but it's overlapping, right? Where you have like, serving as a body, overlapping with orphans and widows. And it's like, man, that is really awesome. And I love that. I will say, like, it's especially, I don't know if this is a good sales pitch or not. It's not, like, super enjoyable. I will say, I mean, we've all been there, like, yeah, I'm going to sell this. But, like, hey, I will say this, though. If it was, would we get treasure? I'm just saying, like, literally, like, I was reading through James, and he's saying, like, it's hardships and trials that, like, persevere you, you know what I mean? Like, that refine you as an individual. And it's like, if this was enjoyable, we probably wouldn't get much treasure for it. So the more it sucks, the kind of the better it is for you long term. You just got to give the investment. It's like stocks. Give the investment on the front end. Anyway, so that's what it is. That's what it is. But, yeah, like, I don't like lakes. They're mushy. It's gross. You don't know what's down there. Everything is, my mind is trying to eat you. But the kids are out there, so you go out there. I don't really like fishing because I don't really care for the blood and guts and the slimy stuff. But you go out there, the kids are there, and then you get hooked, and that happens. That happened to me. Literally, the first fish, I try to take off the line, it hooks me. And I was like, man, I knew this was going to happen. But then that was my excuse for the way out. You know, like sometimes I had a kid. He was like, oh, I want to go because Glenn's there. And he's there, and I'm excited for him. And then he is a little demon child, and that's okay. And that happens. And you know what? It's just like, okay, like I thought we were going to have a good time. Instead, it's going to be challenging, but that's okay. Like, this is what it's like to like follow Jesus sometimes. And we need that reminder because otherwise it looks like this. And this isn't what it looks like to follow Jesus. Coming to a church on Sunday, singing some songs that like half of us don't even want to sing. You know what I mean? Listening to a sermon that half of us are not paying attention to. Like, that's just not church. You know what I mean? So like to go out there, and I know I'm being a little flippant there. I believe it's more than half. On all occasions, I was just being jokey. But anyway, like going out there and doing the things, like that is what it means to follow Jesus. And I love that. And like, does it hurt? Yes, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally. Like, is it uncomfortable? Yeah, the room's always damp and smells weird. And I'm not calling anyone out, but it smells weird. And like, but at the same time, there is something, I guess in my mind, the way I think of it, right, it's all like odds and chances because nothing in life is guaranteed except for like following Jesus. I suppose you do get guaranteed heaven. But anyway, so in my mind, it's like, okay, we get to intersect with this population that really needs help. And we can do something that could actually be helpful. And there's no chance I'm really gonna intersect with them in any other space that I'm aware of than this space. When you think about, you know, that many kids who are all in adoption, like that is pretty awesome. And to me, that is one of the main drivers of camp as well, where it's like, wow, again, opportunity. We get a chance to impact someone's kids, someone's life for the better, get to change their worldview from how they're seeing it because of the things that they've gone through, and we can give them a reason to have hope and to see things differently, that's just massive. And maybe it's just one little thing. You know, I've been doing it for 4 years. You get the same kid sometimes those 4 years, and to see them like really grow is amazing. To see them change, like some of the kids who would never ever talk to you because for whatever reason, they're a child, you know, like, and they just decide not to like you, and that's fine. To see them actually start talking to you, it's pretty cool. To see kids who are like, you know, who are just incredibly introverted, kind of break out of their shell and to be friendly with other kids, it's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's some of the basic life principles of like, we should be kind to other people. And to see other kids come along and learning how to be kind and learning how to love other people is just really great. I'm trying to think if there's one particular memory this year that really speaks to me. I will say, like, we had one of our kids was graduating this year, and you know, as you get 12, it gets a little tougher to be there because you got 6-year-olds, you got 12-year-olds, and the 12-year-old boys are just over it in some ways. They're like, they're too cool, you know. And so him and I just went on the bridge at sunset, you know, and watching the fish because he's a huge fish guy. Again, I just did not care about the fishing, but he loved it. So we're there. I did think the fish part was cool. But anyway, he's there. We're looking at the fish, and we're like just tossing bread and things to the fish just to feed him. And just having a little bit of conversation. And like it was quiet because all the kids were somewhere else. And like, man, having that moment, that one, like two-on-one, because too deep, two-on-one time with him. It was just such a great moment. I don't even remember what we talked about, but this is like, if I leave him with a positive feeling about Jesus, this Jesus thing, like when I think about my life and how I got saved, like part of it was because church had candy. Church equaled good. I went back to church. So we have these moments where it's like, I did this thing. I really enjoyed it. That means good. And therefore I go back. Like, it's really simple things like that that can make all the difference. Anyway. So I know you said we had a lot of time, so I took a lot of time. But.
Thanks, Glenn. Wow, what a journey. Thanks. I have so many things on my heart today. When we started planning for this camp season, we realized sort of last minute that we needed someone to go to director's training or we couldn't be a camp anymore. There was like a requirement that we weren't aware of. Someone has to go to director's training every so many years. And so Courtney answered that prayer, and we are all very thankful for Courtney. She, how long was that training, Courtney? All online, which, yes. But then she joined our team. And let me tell you, with Katrine having Levi this last year, that was so important. And that was something that God orchestrated way before any of us even realized that was going to be a need. Because come camp time, Katrine had to spread out her time between camp and family. And having a third member to be adding the fourth, was really, really, we needed that. So thank you to Courtney for hopping in this year. I also wanted to give a special shout out to all of our home-based people. So if you helped with registration, if you made a meal, if you were solo parenting, or if you were a prayer partner, could you please stand up? Because camp also doesn't run without these people. So thank you to all of you who carried us in ways that we might not even know, because we need you guys too. I really feel like, and leadership as a whole feels like, the multiplication of the power of the prayer behind our camp has been felt tangibly tenfold. This year, I just felt like it was blessing after blessing of just things being taken care of. Is this our first year all of our volunteers came to camp that were like applied and trained and all that stuff? Because it might be. It seems like every year we got a call morning of, day before, someone can't come to camp. And that leaves panic.
and a lot of last-minute changes that were required. We had all of our trained and prepared volunteers come to camp this year, which was a great start. We had kids, like she said, 13 returned. Kids came excited and ready to participate. They came ready to be good friends. They came ready to soak in camp. They came ready with big smiles. And it is so funny watching kids get off the bus, because if you didn't know any better, you could know whether they were returning camp or not just by the look on their face. Are they excited and ready, or are they apprehensive? And I will say, there was a girl last year who came to camp. It was her first year last year. Very withdrawn last year. And again, God had orchestrated in advance that she would be the only camper with her counselor. And so it was just the two of them. And they did what they needed to do. And we found out after the fact that that family was so touched by that child's time at camp. The dad shared with DCFS at like higher ups about the importance and impact of this camp on their child. And that child came back to camp this year glowing, like she did it all. And she was excited and happy and ready to go get them. And those are the things we don't always see, but that's what's happening. When Glenn was talking to that kid, sitting there fishing or standing there with the fish, I have no doubt that child will remember that for the rest of his life. Because I also know that that child doesn't have a dad. And that child lives with grandma. And that child's future is, you know, you don't know what's going to happen when you're living with grandma. Glenn might be the closest thing to a father he's got. And those are all the unknowns that we don't know, but we give to God. And I'm so thankful for all the ways, all the volunteers pour into those kids. Like, I'm not a counselor, but one day, actually it was the first day when we were walking back across camp after our indoor campfire, and I pumped up the kids for our rain walk across camp, because no one knew it was going to rain, and no one had rain gear, and we were all going to walk in the rain together. And when we have our first little introduction, we introduce the staff and kind of our roles, and Katrine always mentions, and this was really put into us at training, always tell the kids you're volunteers. That's very important. Always tell the kids no one's getting paid. And to me, I was like, okay. But I had a kid this year, we were walking back to the cabins. She asked me 3 times in a row, do you really not get paid? Why are you here? Like, are you really here, like, for fun? And it's such a powerful moment to say, yes, because you matter. And we love you guys so much that we wanted to be here with you. And that kid, it was her first year, but she really soaked it in. She had so many questions about God. She brought her that video, that shot of a kid holding her Bible, that was her. She had a lot of questions about God. And I just pray that wherever she is now, that there is someone to feed those questions, because she had a lot. And God's working there, and that's really, really powerful. So thank you to all of you who came to camp, all of you who support us, who gave money. It is such a community effort, Bradley Epworth and beyond, to make camp happen. And I really believe that God changes lives through it. We know through neuroscience that once a pathway has been formed in the brain, that it can happen again. So if a child chooses and feels ready and confident to be brave at camp, they can be brave at home in other ways. It's so powerful. I do want to do a quick little plug, because it is still July, which means we have a fundraiser at Eli's going on right now. So if you want to get yourself a delicious peanut butter cup mocha, it's fantastic, and it will help support both us and Foster Village, which I think is a beautiful connection between our ministries. We are working on building the partnerships, and we've already got a good one going on. So thank you to all of you. I want you all to know that you have played a part in camp, whatever that looks like. If you've ever given money to Bradley Epworth, then you've given to camp as well. And I know many of you have been very generous giving directly to camp as well. Thank you for that. I think it was it Shane who was talking about saying yes to the kids? We try our very best to say yes to kids. And so this camp looks different than a lot of classic church camps. Even this week when I was buying 3 mirrors and a canopy on clearance at Walmart, I got a question of like, do you really need three mirrors at camp? And like, yes, because we do these special things, and so we spend money where other camps might not spend money, but it builds this feeling, kind of like what Glenn was saying, kids feel things in different ways, and a camp that just says, yes, we have it for you, here's some grapes, here's some shoes, here's some whatever, we're going to say yes as much as we can, and we're going to make it happen. And so thank you to all of you who have helped to make that happen.
Is there anybody else from camp that has a burning desire to share a story? Because that was all of my planned speakers. Okay. Going once. Going twice. Okay. I'm going to echo what Joelle said, and thank you to everybody who has supported camp. I know Pastor Tom's not here, but he has been crucial in us coming around RFK camp and just really becoming part of our DNA here at Bradley Upworth, and I'm very thankful for his yes and his willingness and his leadership. Yes, and him and Herman coming to fish in the rain with the kids this year. Thank you. The kids loved it. So yes, thank you to everyone. It's just beautiful to see the body of Christ come together to make this happen, because like other people said, I could not do this by myself. Me, Joelle, Ashley, and Courtney could not do this. What's up? Yeah. Oh. Glenn is just really excited. I don't know if we have it pulled up, you know, if that's, oh, okay, all right. What was I saying? Thank you, yes, to everybody, and it's just beautiful to see all the giftings come together because, you know, I am not crafty, but Lori is, and she makes activity centers really awesome and really great, and the kids love it. And I am not a teacher, and I don't know how to have fun like that, but Joelle does, and she knows how to make a campfire really fun, and she brings that fun element, and Ashley is just so thoughtful, and she brings the kids little gifts throughout the week and makes them little notes, and just she is really great at that. So we all just bring our giftings, and it makes camp just so awesome and amazing, and when you take a step back and look at it, it's just like, wow, thank you, Lord. You orchestrated all of this, and it's just really, really beautiful. So we're going to see if Courtney pulls this up. Are you going to do the camp song? Oh. It's really hard. She's picking the hardest song. So Grandma B, who is not here, but she led all the songs for camp, and there's motions that go with the songs, and the kids learn the motions throughout the week, and so do the adults. And this one was called Boom Shakalaka, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What? Okay, Joelle, she's the teacher.
This is going to be really hard holding a mic, though. Oh. All right. Grandma B, I hope you're watching this. She's my mother.
Yes.
Okay. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, self-control. Yeah, because the order is a little different than the Bible verse, which really messes with me. Okay, so we got love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. But it's like 10 times faster in the song. So we'll try one more time. Let's see. Love, joy, peace, patience. patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. All right, faster, ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. Faster. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control. How are we doing? Andrew's given me a very nondescript. If any other camp people would like to join me at the front, you absolutely can. Let's see. It does start with like some really nice Tai Bo punching, so. Oh, Chad, do you remember, was this your year, man? Chad's ready, though. All right, everyone, if you want to, stand up. We'll give you a little RFK camp flavor.
I said, Lord, Lord Jesus, won't you come and fill me up? Cause without you, I'd be feeling so empty. I said, Lord, Lord Jesus, won't you come and fill me up? Cause without you, I'd be feeling so empty. Till I overflow, fill me up till I overflow, fill me up till I overflow, yeah, fill me up till I'm overflowing. Oh. Control.
Fill me up till I overflow. Fill me up till I overflow. Fill me up till I overflow.
Come on.
Fill me up till I'm overflowing.
Now I know you all want to come to camp just to do that. All right, Daryl and Glenn, you want to come up do some worship? Not camp worship.
All right, let's go ahead and just, in fact, we've got like 5 minutes left. One of the things we've been doing at Bradley Epworth after the sermons, just having some quiet time to meditate on what was said, because a lot of times you walk out of church, you forget the sermon. Well, why they start singing, I'd just like us to meditate on what this might mean to me. In other words, it might mean you volunteer for camp. It might mean that thing that you've kind of been putting off to do might be really important, the Holy Spirit, to obey. But just let the Lord speak to you for a couple of minutes, and then we'll close out. But what does this mean? That was a great ending. But what's that mean to me? What's the application? And it may just be doing something good to a neighbor. You know, just that person that someone's put on your heart. So just spend some time meditating before the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak while Glenn sings over us and the worship team.